Right, all right. But until then, all right, we want you to listen carefully this morning. All right? Listen carefully this morning. Now, there are times that things are pointed. There are times that things are general. And I hope it's very pointed this morning. I'm preaching to you. And I'm preaching to me this morning. And if you know anybody that ain't here, call them and tell them to go back and watch it. Because every member of Mountain State Baptist Church needs to listen. Now, I know it, most of the time it's a waste of time for me to preach. But I'm going to preach anyhow. All right? Because we fail to listen. And I'm going to be very plain this morning. And I want everybody to know that. I'll tell you up front, we're very plain. And there's help here if you'll take it. All right? There are several things that we need to think about. We look through for help through the week, and then people lay out a church, and that's where the help's at, and they don't come. And I can't help that. I can't help that. I know there's sufficient help in the house of the Lord. And I want you to know that this morning, all right? And so listen carefully. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you've warmed my heart this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've answered prayer, Lord, even from the prayer room. Lord, prayer that I would ask you about this morning in the prayer room, now you have answered already since preaching service started. Thank you for that answer to prayer this morning. Thank you for the singing. Lord, thank you for the singers. And thank you for the songs. And Father, I thank you that we have amazing grace. Lord, you're wonderful in all that you do. I'm nothing, but you're everything. Now, Father, I know that the enemy is present. Lord, I know that the enemy comes to church faithfully, never missing a service. But Father, thy Holy Spirit is here as well. Lord, if you'll just for a bit set him aside and speak in our heart this morning, I pray this morning that every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl will be convicted of sin this morning. God, I pray that we all might seek a place of repentance. And Father, I pray this morning that we might put you first and foremost in all that we do. To you be all glory, all praise. All praise goes to you this morning. Please touch me fresh. Cleanse me from my filth. I'm no good. I'm a wretch. I know that. Father, cleanse me that I might be what you want me to be this morning. And please touch me with thy power as you see necessary. Please, oh God, open the word to us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name I ask and amen. I believe with all my heart, as we've been preaching on the home, that the home is a necessary institution. I believe that. I believe that the Lord founded a home. If you read the Word of God, the very first thing after he made all the animals and he made man and then he made woman and he made a home. And that's how important it was. Before everything to get started, he made a home. Think about that. He didn't make nothing else until he made the home. The home was important to the Lord. Now, when we think about the home, I want you to listen. It was had a purpose. It was designed for pure fellowship. That's what the home was designed for. Pure fellowship with him. I don't know that anybody could argue that. Pure fellowship with man and wife, if you would, and God. That's how it was made. Adam and Eve and God. Then sin entered in. And we know that. And because sin entered in, there had to be a blood atonement. And after the blood atonement, then the purpose never changed. The purpose never changed. It made it sweeter. Are you hearing me? It made it sweeter because now they understood that everything they had was because of what God had provided, and it was going to be man and woman and their fellowship with God because of the blood that was shed. And he added to them a purpose then that they would procreate and bring forth children and have families. And that's what constitutes in a home, father, mother, and children. And that is for design, for fellowship, pure fellowship with God because of the shed blood. Does everybody understand that? That's simple, is it not? And the reason man sinned and then God provided was that that fellowship would be pure in all that God provides. Keep that in mind. All right? And then we have something that's very similar to the home, and that's the house of God. Something very similar. Man sinned. We know man sinned. Adam sinned, Eve sinned. And there was a picture then, a symbol or a promise of God that he was going to institute something else later on. And the prophets didn't understand it. Even though they walked with God, they looked from mountaintop to mountaintop and never saw the valley that the church would be born in, or the institution that the church would be. And the church today, the church, the body of Christ, the church, and we can even bring it down to this local church this morning, has a purpose, but not until after the blood was shed on Calvary did the church come about. Christ died and was buried, rose again, then the church come out. You can't get to church before the resurrection of a new life and the promise that God made. Listen to me carefully now. Listen to me carefully. The blood of Christ then made the church. He purchased the church with his blood. And because of wanting that pure fellowship with the family of God and the household of faith, if you would, it's because of the blood of Christ, not because of man, woman, boy, and girl, not because of talents and abilities, but because of the sacrifice of Christ, the church come forth with a purpose then, as Adam and Eve did after the blood. It was for us to procreate and bring forth children, and the purpose of the church is for pure fellowship with us and him and procreating children or getting people saved and increasing the family of God. Is everybody with me? It's so elementary when we look at Genesis and then look at the rest of the Bible. Is everybody with me? But now then there's something wrong. Trouble comes. When I go back and read about Adam and Eve and the institution of the home, trouble come. Well, they started having children. You know, they had enough trouble before they had children. Right? Think about that. It wasn't with the neighbors. It was with them. Everybody understands that. Wasn't no neighbors causing no problems. Because there weren't nobody but Adam and Eve. But then when they started procreating, having children, then they started having trouble. They didn't have to have but two, and they had trouble. All right? If they had two, Cain and Abel, one kills the other. Trouble. That's pretty serious trouble. You agree to that? But can I tell you, there's been trouble in the family ever since. There's not one family that has ever been upon this earth that has not, does not, is having trouble, has had it, or you will have it. Every family has trouble. And can I tell you where it started? It started with Adam and Eve, and that's where our trouble starts with us. Right? And then we have children. And though they be a blessing, the Bible says, and though it's a blessing from God, and they are, we all know that even though they're, I see that little one there whining a little bit. He's not bothering me. I'm glad he can whine. But can I tell you what a blessing? Yeah. What a blessing that little fella is, right? And when he gets older, he's going to be a curse. Because he's going to grow up to be like Jesse and Caleb. Just like your children grow up to be a carbon copy of you. And there's not a mom or a dad here that heart has not been broken because of a child in some way or another. Whether it be a sickly child, whether it be a disobedient child, whether it be a sinful child, whether, regardless of the reason, there's not a mommy or a daddy here that a child has not broken mom and daddy's heart. That happens. That happens. But then I look at the church. And I see the church is bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the promise of God and the church, the household of God, the house of God. Purchased with blood. And can I tell you, the church didn't go long at all until there was problems in the church. Here we got the church starting. It's empowered by the Holy Ghost of God on the day of Pentecost. They're in chapter 2 of Acts. And you don't have to go very far till you get to what is it, chapter 5. And you'll find Sapphira and Ananias in the church house. God has to kill them. Members of the church house had to kill them because they didn't do right. Didn't go far. Church wasn't very old. There was a lot of procreating going on. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 the second sermon Peter preached. Church going wide open. Near 100,000 members at the First Baptist Church at Jerusalem. Huh? And trouble come. And can I tell you that ever since the church started, there's been problems in the church. Yeah. Do you know that? Yeah. There've been problems in the church. Now, there's nothing wrong with the institution of a family. That's the way God made it. There's nothing wrong with the institution of the church. God made it. There's nothing wrong with the institution. Both of them was bought with blood. Both of them was bought with God's blood. And there's nothing wrong with the home, and there's nothing wrong with the house of God. But the people that make up the families in the home have issues. And the people that make up the house of God have issues. Everybody still with me? And there's problems. There's always been problems, and there'll always be problems. You understand that? Because of us. Not because of the home, not because of the church, but because of the people that make up the home and the people that make up the church. It's always like that. It'll always be like it. But, when you start reading in Genesis and you go on through, and because of families, then God wrote down a law. And he wrote down a law that the families then would understand how to get along one with another. And he wrote them down as commandments. And the first four are for God and man, and the last six are for man and man. That way, God's word directed to God's people and God's family that they might understand how to get along. Everybody understands that. And then the church was formed and instituted. But he didn't leave us alone. Then he had all of it written down. Not just on a tablet of stone and put into the ark. But he wrote it all down. And then he wrote from Romans until Revelation chapter 4 as epistles to the people of the church how they might get along one with another. It's all written down in the book that I hold in my hand. It's all written down how we are supposed to conduct ourselves one with another. Is everybody still with me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, teaches us the gospel and how to get saved. Matthew gives us a little insight quickly about the future church. John shows us that Jesus is God. And then the epistles are written that we might get along one with another. Is everybody still with me? So we really, the family don't have no excuse not to get along. Do you know that? There's not an excuse. It don't matter what has happened in the home. There's not an excuse for mom and dad and children not to get along. Because the instructions on how to do it's written down. And there's not an excuse for anybody not getting along in the house of God. Because it's all written down and how to do it. Because that's the two main things that God made. And that was the church, the home, and then the church. So we're still preaching in the series. There's something wrong down at the house. So this morning we're going to preach there's something wrong down at the church house. All right? Something wrong down at the church house. All right? Turn to Psalms chapter 122 and we'll start there. Everybody with me this morning? Now the purpose is still the same. You know, it's the purpose of the family. You know, there's some are taking it on themselves to procreate the world. They're having a bunch of them. Then some don't want to have any. But can I tell you, the purpose of the home is to procreate and have a family, that the family might honor God, love God, serve God, fellowship with God. That's the purpose of the family. Is everybody with me? And then the purpose of the church. And some don't procreate many. Some may procreate a lot. But can I tell you, the purpose of the church is to grow. Yes. Amen. You know, I've been told some of the dumbest things at church. Let me tell you, the dumbest that I've ever heard that is past stupid. That a Christian said, the church is too big. There's too many people at church. That is the dumbest, most stupidest thing that can come out of any human's mouth. Just thought I'd tell you. And I heard that at church. I didn't hear that at a bar. Because I don't go to a bar. I go to church. Okay? Yes. Just long we know what page we're on already this morning. Alright? So if you leave because the church is too big, you probably ought to just get saved. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. That's just my opinion. I don't have no Bible for it. But if you don't want the church to grow, don't want to see people saved, I doubt you love the brethren. And if you don't love the brethren, everybody look this way. The Bible says if you don't love the brethren, you don't know God. Everybody understand that? Let me say it again. If you don't love the brethren, you don't love God. Right? What the Bible says. Psalms 122 verse 1 says, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Hey, we used to not be allowed to come. We used to not think we was welcome to come. The church wasn't for everybody at one time. You had to fit a certain criteria. But I'm glad that the church welcomes sinners, that it still welcomes drunkards and dope heads and idolaters and adulterers and homosexuals and liars and gamblers. And I'm glad the church still welcomes men to come to hear the gospel. I'm glad. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was glad. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read on, but I'm going to preach from that one verse, really. David said, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Look at verse 9. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek good. Listen to me. I've been helped more by the people of God and the church of God than the world ever has tried to help me. Do you know that? I've got some friends in the world. I do. I'm friend to sinners. We're supposed to be friend to sinners. But can I tell you, they ain't never helped me much. They've come and got from me a lot, but they ain't never helped me much. But can I tell you where my help has come? From the household of faith and the children of God and the people of the church. Hey, the people of the local church has come to my aid more than once. They've come to me when I've been sick. They've prayed for me when I've been sick. They've been there when I've been discouraged. They've been there when my heart's been broken. And they've prayed and took care of me and took care of my wife, took care of my family, and made sure that everything was okay. I'm not going to talk about the church of God. I'm not going to be against the church of God. I'm for the church this morning. And I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I was glad that they sung praises in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad that Jimmy reminded me that he's the master of the sea. I'm glad that Linda reminded me that heaven's going to be real and heaven's going to be good. I'm glad that Clark had him sing Amazing Grace and Cheryl Strip the Keys a little bit. It encouraged my heart this morning. I was glad when they said to go into the house of the Lord. I didn't come with my head down this morning. I come with my head up and my hands up because I come with the one who born me again and washed me with his blood. And I come because I got friends down at the house of God. I got the word of God down at the house of God. I've got the songs of praise down at the house of God. Hey, the church has been good to me. The church has been good to me. Have they ever failed? Well, they're made up of people. Of course they made mistakes. Huh? Sure they have, but I ain't got no complaints about the church. I ain't got no complaints about the church. And David said, I was glad when they said it to me, let's go in the house of the Lord. We okay? Now listen to me. I'll give you some. I found this in a commentary. And I said, wow, that for once is really good. And I want to share it to you this morning. Here, it says, David said, I was glad when they said it to me. Or I rejoiced in it. Somebody said, hey, it's Sunday. Oh, good. It's Sunday. I rejoice. Hey, I would get to go. That's what David said. Of course, I don't know why David would think that. These people trying to kill him. He had sorry. His kids was heathen. Huh? He had kids raping sisters and brothers and killing this one and that one and the king trying to kill him. I mean, I don't know why he'd be tickled to go to church, get a little relief. I don't know why he'd want to go praise the Lord. I don't know why he'd want to go in there where they was worship. Are you hearing me? Man, I come to worship this morning. I come at the Holy Ghost of God, burn in my soul, that I might enjoy His presence. And you say, well, I don't have to go to church and feel that presence. No, I don't have to. No. And if I've got a legitimate excuse, He'll bless me at home. But if you ain't got a legitimate excuse, He ain't nowhere near you. And I don't have to go home to be married, but it sure helps my relationship. Huh? Everybody understand that? It goes on and says, I was glad when they said it to me. I rejoiced in it. In what was said to me. For it may regard not only the time when he had this pleasure of mine, but the persons who gave it. See, sometimes it's not just the opportunity we have to come to church, but it's the people that made it possible. the people that makes it possible. Do you know there's a lot of work done through the week that you might set where you're sitting this morning? There's a lot of preparation. There's meals cooked for the kids, and there's gas on the buses, and we try to make sure and trying to control the heat with a bunch of menopausal women and old men. I'm telling you, you can't keep the heat regulated. It's either too cold or too hot. Some's got blankets, some's got fans, huh? And some are dead and don't know it and don't affect you, huh? But I mean, there's a lot of preparations done for it. The church is cleaned, huh? There's music prepared and prayed over. There's hours of preparation in messages and in lessons, huh? There's visits made and calls made, huh? I call all of you every Sunday morning. I try to call you even on Fridays to encourage you to get ready for Sunday. Huh? There's preparations made. So thank you for making it available for me to be here this morning. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've done to entertain me, because that's what a lot of us do. We don't come for worship. We come for entertainment. Thank you, Lib. Y'all sung great this morning. It was worship for me, but it was entertainment for others. But it was worship for me. I want you to know, thank you for the time. We okay? Rick, thank you for the lesson. Thank you for studying. Thank you for the hours that you spent reading. Thank you. I appreciate it. I just want y'all to know I appreciate those who allowed it possible for me to come to the house of God. Huh? Thank you for what you've given in the past, that the light bill was paid, that we have lights. Huh? Thank you for what you've done to prepare the Sunday for me. Are you with me this morning? Let's look on. Huh? He said, I was glad when he said, let's go into the house of the Lord, the house of the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the place of divine worship, typical of the church of God. Listen here what it said, which is a house of his building, beautifying and repairing. Is that not what he does? Boy, he beautifies, he repairs. Anybody here got pretty up a little bit when you've come to church and left? There was a lot of difference in you, huh? How about anybody here ever got repaired in the house of God? Boy, I've got repaired in the house of God more than once. I'm just telling you, this ain't this good. That old fella wrote this pretty good. Now hang with me. We'll preach in a minute. Here, listen. It's material. It has all the essentiality of a house. The church we're talking about. Its materials are lively stones. That's what the book says, eh? We're lively stones. Ain't what the book says? Talk to me. Talk, if you know your Bible, say amen, huh? Amen. It says like, its foundation's Christ. Amen. Huh? Amen. Its pillars are ministers of the word. Amen. Huh? Now, this is a little iffy. The beams of it are stable believers. I don't know how stable any of us are. Huh? Its windows are the ordinances. Baptism, Lord's Supper. Huh? Ain't that good? The door into the church is the door of faith in Christ and professing it. Huh? Ain't that such a blessing? But now listen, but now with it, both duty and privilege. It's both duty and privilege of the believer to go. Here they find, now say amen if any of this is you. Here they find spiritual pleasure. Enjoy an abundance of peace and comfort and have their spiritual strength renewed. As well as the ability to give honor and glory to Him. And then, because of all that, it becomes us to stir up one another to go thither, to go forth. But some are slothful and backward. Some are lukewarm and indifferent. Some are worldly and carnally minded. Others are conceited of their knowledge and think themselves wiser than their teachers. Therefore, they need to be excited to their duty. Truly gracious souls are glad when they're stirred up to it. both on their own account and on the account of others because of the glory of God. I think that pretty well sums up the church, does it not? Everybody still with me? But see, now we're going to give you the title of what we're going to preach. All right? See, David said, I was glad. That's what you thought I was going to preach on. I was glad when he said, let us go in the house. Lord, you thought that's what I was going to preach on. But that ain't what I'm going to preach on. The title is why you don't want to go to church. Why you don't want to go to church. That's your title this morning. Why you don't want to go. Everybody hearing me? Now David said, I was glad when they said, let us go. But I'm going to preach to you this morning for just a minute on why you don't want to go to church. Huh? The first reason you don't want to go to church, you can throw it up there on the board if you want to, but it's 2 Timothy 4:10. It's because of personal sin. Can I tell you, that's one of the reasons people don't want to go to church? It's because of personal sin. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Can I tell you that personal sin will keep you out of the house of God above everything else? Because you can't live like hell and be faithful to church because you can't stand the preaching. It'll put you in or out. Huh? And because of our personal sin, we decide we're not going to go. I've told you before, I've been saved a long time, and God called me to preach a lot longer than before I committed myself to preach. But when I finally got completely, what I should say, committed to God, me and Cheryl Ann, in that trailer over at Mount Lookout, and we committed our life to God, before I was ever preaching, we committed our life to God, and I made a decision then that I would go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and whatever the midweek service was. That was in 1983. I've never, ever made that decision again because I made it then. There was no need for me to make it again because I made it then. Because I committed my life to the one who saved me, and I said, I'm going to go to your house if nobody else goes. If nobody else in the family goes, if nobody else in the town goes, I'm going to go to church. If I can't get in the building, then I'll kneel down at the door. But I'm not going to forsake the house of God. Huh? But can I tell you, personal sin will keep you from that. Because you don't feel comfortable. If you got sin in your life right now, you're not comfortable. You may be here because you're religious. You may be here to keep hoping nobody finds out. Huh? But can I tell you, God already knows. And you won't last long in your personal sin until you repent. Okay? We still okay? Now, the second reason you don't want to go to church, it's because of priority situations. Not just personal. I'm going to be alliterated, Brother Rick. Mark it down. There ain't going to be no R at the bottom of it either, unless it's repent. But personal sin and priority situation. You say, well, what's that mean? That's when, because of personal sin, your priority changes. And you're in a situation where that the house of God is no longer a priority. How many here, men or women, on a workplace, if you miss a day's work, if you're going to miss, how many call in sick? or make a call to the boss. Is anybody, now if you work in a complex, hold your hand up. If you're not going to work, how many call ahead and tell the boss I ain't coming? Well, I tell you, if the rest of y'all work, I wouldn't hire you in a tasting pies in a pie factory. Huh? You know how come you call in sick or let the boss know you're not going to be here when you're not going to be here? Because of your commitment and respect. But I never know when anybody's going to miss. Come in, Sunday school classes are empty. People don't show up to do their job. In the church house, got to try to find replacements here and fill-ins here. Everybody goes and comes as they want. We abuse their freedom, never thinking that there may be some great need that somebody in the church needs from you that day, but you don't let nobody know because your priorities, your situation change. That's why you don't go to church, because the priority's wrong. I've worked 43 years. One job, two jobs, or sometimes three jobs at a time. Two jobs for many years. And I never, ever missed work that I didn't call ahead. And then if I knew that I was going to miss ahead of time, that I was made sure that my replacements was taken care of, or that I never left the boss in a bind. And in 43 years of work, I was only late for work one time. That's just the way I look at it. I was late for work because I got snowed in and I couldn't get home or back to work. I was in the swag at Brackens Creek in the snow and the two-wheel drive, and I couldn't get there. I had to wait till they cleaned the road till I got to work. But I still went. But I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Sometimes it don't take much to miss. Now, I'm sure it's this generation that we're living in. Teddy, you're a superintendent of mines. What if 12 of your men didn't decide just not to show up and call you? Be hard running cold. Be hard. Huh? You know you're important this morning. We okay? Is everybody still okay with me? Yeah. I just want you to understand that we miss church because our priorities are messed up. We don't get up and, "Man, I was glad." Huh. We're glad when we have vacation. We're glad when hunting season opens. We're glad when we have a sale at the store. We're glad when they open a new restaurant. But we can't be glad at the house of the Lord anymore. Well, ain't nothing wrong with the church. Ain't nothing wrong with the church. So why you don't want to go to church is because personal sin. Why you don't want to go to church is because of the priority situation in your life. Now, why you don't want to go to church sometimes is because of private sorrow. Huh? Sometimes we get sick or we get sad or something happens to us and we get weak and we don't want to be around it. Have you ever got up and didn't want to be around anybody because of the load you was carrying? Talk to me. I mean, that happens, does it not? We get up and the load's heavy and we don't, I just don't want to be around nobody. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone, right? But can I tell you, that's when you need a church the most. Because this is where your help and encouragement is. Because the Word of God will be opened and the preaching will be preached and the songs will be sung. And you will feel a little better if you'll force yourself to come on. Amen. But sometimes it's personal sin. Sometimes it's priority situations. Sometimes it's private sorrows. Now you ready? Sometimes it's because of petty schisms. Sometimes it's because of petty schisms. A schism is a division. And sometimes people don't want to go to church because of petty schisms. Are you hearing me? Hurt in a church. Division among the brethren. Things that are wrong in a church today. You know why it's wrong? You know why there's things wrong today in the church? It's because the church has accepted sin. The church is too sissified and panty waist to come under church discipline. The church is too proud to follow pastoral leadership. And then petty schisms fly up because of people. Because of people. Everybody still with me? Now, the reason I say that we've accepted sin, I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. All right. Proverbs chapter 6 and Romans 1 goes together. All right. Proverbs chapter 6 and Romans 1. If I look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, 17, 18, and 19 goes along with Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. All right, everybody with me? Now let's read what Proverbs says. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, a proud look. Number one on the list. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's what the Lord hates. Petty schism at the church house is he that soweth discord among the brethren. It's he that's a false witness and speaks lies. He that hath a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations and feet that be swift to running to mischief. He that has a proud look and a lying tongue. Petty schism. Petty schisms. Petty schisms. Petty schisms. Petty schisms. Petty. Petty schisms. Petty schisms. Now let's look at Romans. Paul writes to Romans. Paul writes to the church. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to the church. Hear what he says to the church. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the church today. That we knew God, but we don't glorify him as God. We glorify him as an equal. Man glorifies him as an equal anymore, not as God. That's why we do our thing instead of doing what God says. Because we don't take his authority. We take our authority. But yet we're born again, we say. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. I just wonder, are we thankful for what we have? Huh? I don't know about y'all, but I'm thankful that it's not like it was 19 years ago when I come here. I'm glad there's more than 10 people. I'm tickled to death there's more than 10 of you this morning. I'm tickled to death we got buses running and got a youth group and a youth choir. Got special singing. I'm tickled to death we got more than one piano player. Huh? But yet it says here, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing them to be wise, they became fools. Now, because of the acceptance of sin, now you hear me this morning, because of the modern day acceptance of sin, there's a lot and a whole list of things that follow in the church house because of the acceptance of sin. Amen. Now hear me this morning. This ain't politically correct.
Amen.
This is present time in the future for me. So be it.
Amen.
It says, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, that's what the world has come to, and the church and Christian believers have backed up on homosexuality and lesbianism and the LGBTQABCDFG, all of that, and they backed it up and not stood against it, and because of that, it unleashed a barrage of sin traits that come into the church house, into the believer's mind and heart, because of no stand against sin. Now let's see what we're talking about. It says here in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. We're talking about the church this morning. All right? Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. All manner of sin and wickedness in general. Filthy. It expresses the fallen man. There's more praise in the church house over sins we've committed than the new life God's give us. There is. Now I'm going to preach this this morning. Verse 29 says, being filled with honor, and look, fornication. Why is that in it? Look, because it used to be unheard of. It was normal for a man and woman to get married that were virgins. Yeah. Now they have things going on. What's your body count? Yeah. That's the common thing among young people now. What's your body count? You know what that means? How many people you had sex with? What's your body count? Keeping score. Huh? today. Some of y'all older ones said, what are you talking about? Well, I'm just telling this what's going on. Get your head out of your sand and look around and deal with people. Listen. Fornication is accepted. It's accepted in the church. Adultery is accepted in the church. Listen, I'm not against nobody. I know what's past is past, but we've done accepted adultery so much that we let preachers that commit adultery preach in the pulpit. We let them hold office in the church as a deacon. There's no discipline when adultery happens in the church house. There's nothing done. We just let a sin go on, pat on the back, say a little prayer, God forgive me, you'll be all right. No, 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 no. It ain't right. This is true. We let our kids fornicate. You say, no, I don't. If you let them date by themselves, they're fornicating. If they're not, they need to see a doctor. Because they're not normal. A boy and a girl alone are not going to talk about the Bible very often. They may start it. But it's going to lead to other stuff. But it's accepted in the church. Fornication, that's sex before you're married. You ain't got no business. It's wrong with sin. But nobody stands up and says, I want church to forgive me. I've been fooling around. I come forward, preacher, I need y'all to pray with me because I've sinned again in the church. I've done had three or four men or three or four women. I sure am sorry about it. We don't do it no more. We'll have five husbands, 10 wives. We don't stand up and say, God, I'm sorry for committing adultery. No. We slip in or change churches. It's all because of the acceptance of sin. Now, does God forgive? Sure. That ain't what I'm saying. He don't forgive. I'm telling you, that what causes schism in the church? Huh? You know there's people who can't come to church here. They can, but they won't. You know why? Because other people in the church is either fooling around with their husband or wife and they still hold a grudge. Or it's hard for exes all to come to church together. I'm just telling you. It's hard when who you're married to sits over yonder and you're over here. It's really hard. It just makes it inconvenient because of sin. That's why. And I got to preach over top of this, try to get some sinner out of the pits of hell through all this stuff, and we forget about it. Well, I can't back up no more. I can't. There's just too much at stake this morning. There's souls. Weighed in the balances. Oh God, help us this morning. Being filled with all unrighteous fornication, wickedness. That's mischief. Mischief of the heart. Think about that. Like Satan does. Covetousness. That's just a lust is all that is. Maliciousness. Are you understanding what that is? That's revenge. We want revenge. We don't want forgiveness. We don't want to forgive. Well, they said something. I'm going to say something. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it to them. They done it to me. Now they opened the door. They done it to me. By golly, I'm going to do it to them. That's sin. Full of envy. That's a superior knowledge and learning over others. Envy. Murder, Murder. Can I go and tell you that gossip is murder? Yes, sir. If you say anything about me, you're hurting my testimony, my integrity, my life, and you're guilty of murder. Debate. Boy, we see that in the young people today. Young preachers, or they say they're preachers. I don't believe they're preachers. But they debate, and it's a strife about words. Strife about words. Well, I know, I believe that doctrine, but the words are different. Like Batman does Robin. I can't help it. I'm sorry, but strife about words. Huh? Debate, deceit, huh? We know what deceit is, don't you? That's pretense. That's lying. Malignity, huh? No courteousness. What happened to the courteousness in the church? What happened to the respect of the old? Huh? We don't teach your kids to be courteous. We teach them to be, do what you want, honey. And we'll do a timeout. Now, if you, after I tell you 73 times, I might put you in timeout. Then you'll be sorry. No, you. On their bottom. And make them do right. Whisperers. Mischief among friends. Ain't that odd when you look it up? Who make mischief among friends by privately suggesting and secretly insinuating things into the mind of one to the prejudice of another. Whispers. I ain't going to tell you a lie, but I'm just going to lead you on that you might believe something yourself. Huh? It's where we're at. I'm talking about personal sin, priority situations, private sorrow, and petty schism. Why we don't go to church? Why people don't want to go to church? Brother Rick said it best a long time ago. He said, "I don't understand." He said, "I understand why some don't come, but I don't understand why some do." How about we look at verse 30? Backbiters, haters of God. Backbiters who publicly defame the character of their neighbors, who hurt their good name or credit or reputation behind their backs. Huh? We don't have none of that around here, though, do we? Huh? We don't have no little groups in the kitchen, do we? Talk about people. Huh? We don't have no little groups. Huh? Can't tell you that the women are bad at whispering and backbiters. Right. It's going to tell you that the women, have trouble backbiting and whispering. That the women have trouble with gossip and backbiting and whispering. That's right. Get in your little corners and talk. Yeah. Spread. The rumors. Spread it. Maybe it'll hinder the spirit of the Lord, and somebody will go to hell because of a petty schism. Huh? Because you don't know when to shut up. Because you're out of order. And you say, well, who are you talking to? You? Me? Ones that ain't here? Ones that quit? Backbiters. Look what the crowd they run with. Haters of God. And you say, wait a minute, I don't hate God. No, you deny His providence for your life. The haters of God, they don't mean you hate God, but you don't like the path that God has for your life and the things and that's going on in your life of the sorrow and the trials and the tribulations, and you get mad at God because of the way things are going in your life. That's what that's talking about. Despiteful. Surely nobody like that. Proud. It's a funny thing, proud's in there. Proud was in Proverbs 6. Huh? Proud. proud of what they are. You know, they done took June. June, did you ever notice that June is Father's Day? That's when Father's Day is, right? Why'd they pick that month to be Pride Month? You ever wonder that? Why did the homosexual crowd take June to be Pride Month? Because of the breakdown of the home. Of fathers, mothers, children. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Boy, we could go there forever. Huh? They stuff I ain't never even thought of. Disobedient to parents. We got any of that? Not only are kids disobedient to parents, when I was brought up, if any adult told me to stop, I stopped. But I was taught to respect of any elder. That if anybody told me, don't, you can't go there. Yeah, I'm real fine. What do you, my mom said, I do what I want to do. Yeah, like, sound like Ernest T. Bass talking to Barney Fife. We okay? Yeah. Listen, I'm not mad at nobody. I'm for God, but I told you a month ago, 2 months ago, I was going to preach to you and for you. Now, y'all want to have a meeting at any time and dismiss me. That's fine. But until then, I'm going to preach. Amen. And I'm going to pastor. Verse 31. Without understanding. Boy, we don't get it. We just don't get it. We don't get it. Covenant breakers. Well, you can go a long way with covenant breakers. Huh? You know, like we maybe ought to teach on the church covenant. Huh? Maybe we ought to. At the covenant breakers, to have no regard to contracts or commitment. Without natural affections. Well, we understand that's what it talks about with the homosexual crowd, but can I tell you that we think more of our animals than we do our brothers and sisters in Christ? Listen, I got a dog. I love him, but he's a dog. You know what he was when I got him? He was a dog. You know what he'll be when I bury him? A dog. He lives a dog's life. He's got fleas. He stinks. I love him, but he's a dog. He's not a person. If I love him more than I love you, then I have sin in my life. Yes. Amen. Without natural affection. Huh? To the parents, we don't have an affection for our parents. I can't imagine any child by talking to a parent. Not more than once. But yet, parents are talked about like dogs by the children. Why is that? Because it's not a natural affection. Huh? We still okay? Well, I know you ain't okay, but that, you're still hearing me. Implacable. You ever wonder what that implacable means? It's when you're offended, there's no reconciling. Once you rub me wrong, you're off my list. I have nothing to do with you. You can bring somebody. That's unchristian. Unmerciful. No pity, no compassion to anybody in distress or hurt. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such thing are worthy of death, not only do the same, have pleasure in them to do it. Now listen carefully. Who knows the judgment of God? We know what God says about all this. We know. But we'll still back others up. Everybody look this way. Give you a good example. It's one thing for me to say something about somebody. But if you don't stop me, if you don't stop me when it comes out, then you're guilty as I am. Because you're going right along with the filthy deed. You hear me? And may I ask this? If you talk about me to somebody, all right? Now, I know that there's people say things, and I don't have those feelings in that direction. You're not going to hurt me in that direction. But what I don't understand, if you're being the one told, why do they feel it so comfortable to tell you? Why were they so comfortable to tell you? You understand? I'm talking about petty schisms. What causes it? I don't have time to give you all the scripture that I have for you because we need to have a baptizing and I know y'all got to eat dinner. But we've forgotten how that we're not supposed to have strife, and we've forgotten how we're supposed to love one another and how we're supposed to build up one another. And then we've forgotten this major thing, that when we have trouble, that we go to He and Thee alone, Matthew 18. I want you to turn there. That's where we'll finish it this morning. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I want you all to open your Bibles. I want you to look. Keep it on the screen. I want you to listen. We're talking about petty schism. We're talking about why people don't go to church. We're talking about personal sin, priority situations, private sorrow, petty schism. Now listen to me. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Now that's all wonderful. That's all wonderful. But if you're a brother or a sister and somebody comes to you and they got a problem with you, then instead of being so defensive, why don't you just make sure you fix the problem? Yeah. Instead of putting it off on the other person, if they got a problem with you, then their problem is what they sensed was a problem. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So whether it was a misunderstanding or the truth, don't matter. Just go to He and Thee alone, and it ought to stop right there. Right there. Now, if somebody else knows I got a problem with you, I'm already out of order. Nobody else is supposed to know we got a problem. Because if somebody else knows, then sides have been taken. And then there's more stirred up than fixed. If you come to me and I've wronged you, then I need to repent. Whether I feel like I was wrong or not, if I wronged you, you're wronged. Therefore, I have wronged you. You hear me? Moreover, if thy brethren shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Fellowship intacted. Amen. Fellowship. Loving, pure fellowship. But verse 16 then says, but if he won't hear, then you take with thee one or two more. Maybe that know the situation. That's bias in opinion. Maybe that will just stand upon the Word of God and take the Word of God and hear both sides of the issue. Huh? That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, then you have a meeting with the church. And you say, I went to He and Thee alone, and they would not. We can't fix it. I took witnesses, and they won't fix it. Now, I'm coming to the church, and the church passes judgment. They hear what's went on, and the church says, no, you can't do that. either or. And then it says, but if he neglect to hear the church, then you let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now that don't mean you pitch him out on his ear. It means you're done with it. There's no fellowship. There's no fellowship until repentance takes place. That's church discipline. Of course, we don't like it because we don't like pastoral authority either. Verse 18. Verily I say unto you. Now, verse 18, 19, and 20 goes along with 15, 16, and 17. Learn your Bible. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If things are together, God blesses. If things are loosed, then let it go. Verse 19. Again I say unto you, that if two you shall... This ain't got nothing to do about praying. This is not a prayer verse. This is a getting right one with another verse. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. We got to seek agreement. Look at me. We got to seek agreement if there's wrong. We've got to seek agreement if there's wrong. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He blesses the fix. That ain't got nothing to do with the church service. That's not the simplest form of a local church. It's where two or three are gathered in my name, Christian brothers, making the wrong right. To fix the petty schism. Amen. That's Bible. And that's why people don't go to church. But I was glad when they said to me, let us go in the house of the Lord. I was tickled. Huh? Have I been upset with church people? Well, sure. Huh? I'm getting over it. I used to be suicidal when I was a young preacher, and I'm homicidal now I'm an age preacher. But I'm getting over it. I'm getting over it. But what I do, I just go ahead and come on to church for the Lord. That's right. I'm just going to go ahead and worship for the Lord, and I'm going to be glad when they send it to me, let me go into the house of the Lord. Yes. Amen. Father, convict us.